Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Glory to God. I don't think I need to ask if this camp has been a blessing. I don't think I need to ask if your life is already being changed. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I just have a short message this afternoon. There's so many things I really wanted to talk about, and the Lord just, you know, made me focus on impartations and prophecies. How many of you have ticked off many things from your list of expectations? All right. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Are you ready for the word? Thank you, Lord. Are you ready, everyone? Read with me. 1, 2, go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. Hallelujah. He says, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. I've told you about the Hebrew writers before. One of the ways that they show the exalted nature of God is that they put him in the skies. Because God's space is not always in the skies. Are you seeing what I'm saying? God's space is not limited to the skies. But he says, I see the Lord. He says, he is high and lifted. Then he says, the train of his robe filled the temple. Have you thought of that before? How big is the throne? Think about it. Do you know? Can you imagine how big God's throne is? Then he says, he saw the train of his robe fill the temple. I'm sure he himself did not know the size of the temple. But that's a way to show that your God is a God that fills spaces. He was talking about his glory, his immense nature, how powerful he is. It says the train of his robe fills. It's a symbolic way to think about the immense nature of God, how he fills. Then the next verse, it says, verse 2. Read with me, everybody. 1, 2, go. And with two, he flew. This is powerful. He says, above it stood what? Seraphims. Each one has six wings. With two, he covered his face. Why did they have to cover their face? Because of the intensity of the glory of God. With two, he covered his face. With two, covered its legs. And with two, it flew. Verse 3, the Bible says, one to go. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth. The whole idea of what Isaiah saw is that God fills the space. When he created the earth, he wanted to fill the earth. That has always been God's plan. He is the God that fills all in all. Sometimes when the Hebrew writers want to describe how much he fills, they will say, heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool. Have you ever pictured that before? I want to give you one minute. Think about a God that can be in heaven. If you like, put the heaven up. If you like, put it anywhere. But just think about a God that can sit in his space, yet his leg is here. He has to be big. The picture they are trying to help you see is that God fails. Did you hear what I said? Yes, am I painting a picture in your spirit? God fails. God fails. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the seraphims are saying that the earth is full of his glory. So he created a world that he wants to fill. Are you listening to me, somebody? He created the world at what? Hey, are you people sleeping? He created the world at what?
He wants to feel.
He says the whole earth is full of your glory. Well, they are speaking prophetically of what will happen in the end. But we see it already. The earth full of his glory. We see it already. Nigeria full of his glory. The UK full of his glory. Canada full of his glory. All over the world. The whole earth. That his glory will fill the earth like waters the sea. Our God is the God that fills all in all. Can you say that? Say, my God is the God that fills all in all. Maybe you don't believe it, but I'm telling you. Say, my God is the God that fills all in all. And so the Bible opens us to a story in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It said the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then what happened next? The Bible said, and God said, let there be light. Very interesting. Before Siri came, there was voice activation. Interesting. Was there light? There was light. Before Alexa, can you dim the lights to 20%, please? Before that, things were voice activated. Later, John will later tell us that this is the Logos of God in action, creating and doing all the things as God said. But you see, there is something about God and the leadership of God I want to teach you about today. God is a great leader. Do you hear what I said? God is what? A great leader. Because look at the way God created the world. He said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke things into existence. And then by the time he wanted to create man, look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Now pay attention to this. Are you ready, everybody? All right. 1, 2, go. Then God said, hey, God said what? Let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Hallelujah. He said, let us make man in our image, and according to what? Our likeness. What does it mean for man to be created in the image and in the likeness of God? A lot of us think it's about resemblance. If you've studied about resemblance before, raise up your hand. Okay. A lot of us think it's about resemblance. That, oh, when we see God, it will look like us. Amen? You see, but that's not what image and likeness actually means. Are you following me, somebody? And I've taught these things before, but I'm repeating it because I know that there are many people here who were not there when I taught it. So I want you to understand it as we go on. We make conclusions about what it truly means to be in the image of God because we do not approach it exegetically. And so because of that, we miss the whole point of what is going on here. Are you following me, somebody? Now, he said, let them have dominion. Whatever it means to make man in his image is definitely connected to what he says next, which is dominion. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So how is man in the image of God? Well, the word image there is the Hebrew word selem. And can I tell you what selem means? Idol. Interesting. Statue. So God said, let us make man as a statue. Weird, right? Oh man, like this man's already preaching heresy. Just follow me. Are you following me? Let's make statues. Let's make, the word is images. Are you see what I'm saying? But the problem is that we always think about image with respect to pictures, JPEG. But that's the problem. So the way we've interpreted image is resemblance. Like when someone says you are the spitting image of your mother. You are, oh, I look like my mom. But that's not how they understood images. You see, in those days, the word image, the word idol, is less about resemblance and more about representation. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so they had idols that were representatives of deity. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And the idol does not need to look like the deity. But when you are looking for the deity and you see the idol, you've seen its image. Do you understand what I just explained to you? So, the word image, as interpreted, selem, is more akin to representation than resemblance. Please, are you following me, somebody? I'll give you an idea of what selem means. Numbers chapter 33, verse 52. The Bible says, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. You shall destroy all their pictures and all their molten images. Do you see that? Idols. Are you following me, somebody? Or statue. Same thing in 2 Kings 11, 18. You can read that at home. But what I'm trying to tell you is that when God created man, he didn't just create someone to resemble him. He created someone to represent him. Are you following me? So to be made in the image of God, to be imago Dei, like you said in the Latin, is to be a representative of God on this earth. That was what God created. It was not about resemblance. It was about representation. Are you seeing this? Uh-huh. For example, if I were to take the logo of the Catalyst Church, for example, and I put it very big on your campus or on your street, every morning, and under it is the Catalyst Church Global, every morning when you pass through that statue, what is the statue going to do? It is going to represent the Catalyst Church. That is an image of the Catalyst Church. Is that a better way to understand it? Uh-huh. That's what God created. God created you to image the invisible God in the visible world. Did you hear what I said? No wonder he then goes on to say, let them have dominion. Who truly has dominion? God. But now God is creating a representative of himself on the earth, and then he's giving him dominion. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle of the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Please, are you following me, somebody? And a very interesting question to ask yourself. Why is God creating an idol when he told them to never create idols? God said not to create an idol of him. So why is the Bible saying God created man as an idol? You know God doesn't like anybody to create idols of him, right? Uh-huh. So why is God creating an idol? Why? Are you following me today? Let me give you an example of what an idol is. What Nebuchadnezzar created is an idol. You see, kings those times sometimes saw themselves as God. So they will create statues of themselves for people to worship. So why is God doing that? Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 15. Don't worry, I'm going somewhere. Just pay attention to this. Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. 16. Uh-huh. 17. Meaning God said, don't create any idol. When you were at Horeb, did you see an idol? No. Let me help you better. When God was giving them the pattern of how to create the tabernacle, I explained that to you yesterday, right? In the middle, there was a mercy seat, but was there an idol there? They were to create the tabernacle according to the pattern of what they saw in heaven. All of the cultures around them, in the centerpiece of their temple, there is always an idol representing the deity. But in God's temple, there was no idol. Now, there are various reasons why God said not to create an idol of him. Number one, God is transcendent. Are you seeing what I'm saying? God is invisible. He's transcendent. He cannot be reduced to any physical form. Making an image of him will misrepresent his nature and will lead to idolatry. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Number two, which is the critical one, God already made himself an image. Who is that idol? You. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you are looking for how to know God, the representatives of God, they are in this room already. You just missed what I taught you. If this is all I teach you this afternoon and you understand it, you would have gotten a lot. God made man to image him on this earth. God made you, like I taught you yesterday, to have the best of both worlds. To reveal God's world to this world. God made you a representative. Every man on this earth is in the image of God. Every man on this earth is imaging God. The only question is, are they imaging him right? I taught you this right in Windsor. Are they imaging him right? And that's my question to you. Now, let me tell you something about statues and idols. Let's go back to the analogy I gave you about Catalyst logo. If the Catalyst logo that is placed in front of your street or your school should one day decide that it wants to change its form and image another person, will it be doing what it was placed there to do? No. It means that God has created man, and every part of man must give glory to God. The reason for man's creation, because man does not offer God any other thing. God is self-sufficient, self-sustaining. Why did God need to create man? The only reason I can find is for the glory of God. Because the things that God does, they are for his glory. Do you hear what I said? God is glory focused. Do you know? Do you hear what I said? God is what? Glory focused. The things that God does are for his glory. Even salvation is for his glory. Maybe we've taught you too much about you. But you have to understand that God is the focus. Because in the end, even in your salvation, what did you add to it? What did you contribute? Sin. Only that you were a sinner. So, in the end of it, it is God that will send the person that will preach to you. It is still God that will give you Holy Spirit to help your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? The same Holy Spirit will work sanctification in your heart, all to the glory of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nothing can share glory with God. And so in your life as well, you have to come to a point where you understand that as one who has been created by God, the sole purpose of why you were created is to image God. And if you are doing any other thing but that, you've missed the purpose for your creation. See, at very best, you will be doing well if you write Jesus is Lord on your head and you stand like this. Do you hear what I said? Because the whole idea of idol is to give glory to the one that you are imaging. So a lot of times we think glorifying God is only in singing. No. We think glorifying God is only in worship. No. It's deeper. It is that every fabric of your life, everything that you do with your life, every aspect of your life must be to the glory of God and God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. To the glory of God alone. Are you listening to me? To the glory of God. Say to the glory of God alone. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. Because in verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, Genesis 1, 28. Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. Then God blessed them and said to them, Pause. If God created man to image him and represent him on the earth, it means that everything God tells man to do on the earth is what God wants to do on the earth. You missed that point. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't understand, raise up your hand. Okay, good. I just explained to you that God created man to do what? To do what? To image him. Meaning to represent him. Are you see what I'm saying? That the invisible God wants to have a visible foothold in this world. Are you seeing that? And so he created man to be that representative. And so when we look at the things that God tells that man to do, we can see what God wants to do on the earth. Does that make sense to everybody now? So he says, be what? Be what? We can come to a conclusion that God wants to fill the earth. You've missed it. That declaration, the earth is full of your glory. One way it will happen is by man multiplying on the earth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What God started in Eden, he wanted to fill the earth with it to his glory. But what he wants is to have men everywhere who are pointing to him, to his glory, to his glory, to his glory, to his glory, revealing him. Are you listening to me? And we will have that world very soon in the new Jerusalem. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, some of you don't realize. You think the end goal is heaven. Singing hallelujah, which is good. Which is good. But the Bible says there will be a new earth. A new Jerusalem. There will be no death. There will be no sickness. We would live. But this time, there will be no corruption of the image. We will truly be in the image of God. Just like Jesus was, who the Bible calls the perfect image of God, who with everything he did glorified God. You know, they can ask Jesus some questions sometimes. He will say, ask my father. You know, always finding ways to glorify God. That's the way to live. Are you listening to me, somebody? That's the way to what? To live. He says, be fruitful and multiply. What does he say next? Everybody want to go? Hey, what does he say? Want to go? What does God want to do on the earth? Are you getting this? I'm trying to tell you that in God's plan, he brought you to the table. I'm trying to show you that man is middle management of what God is doing on the earth. Did you hear what I said? You shortchange yourself too much. Even the angels are saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Are you getting what I'm saying? You made him a little lower than the angels. They were using that to talk about man, then they now use that to talk about Christ. So, you have to understand that in what God is doing, man is middle management. I don't have time to explain it to you. Maybe you might know what I'm saying because I gave you a book to read about it. But man's representation of God on the earth is one of the reasons why Lucifer rebelled. I don't have time to explain it today. This is one of those things that I leave you to think about. Maybe 1 year later, I explain. One of the issues is that God created a domain and put man in charge of that domain. Whereas, there are other beings who would have rather had that domain. You see, that's the leadership of God. You know, God has a council he rules with in heaven. Does he need them? But he chooses to rule with them. The same way, does he need you? But he chooses to rule with you. I'm telling you that God found a place for you on the table of what he's doing on the earth. Can you hear the language of what he's saying? Fill the earth. And what? Subdue it. Have dominion. So God gave man that he created dominion on the earth. Please, are you listening to me? Yes, sir. Let me show you some of the things that God did. In saying, fill the earth and multiply. There's something critical God did there. Who created man? Who created man? Who created man? How will man multiply? How will man multiply? You just use the word, but hold your word. How will man multiply? Eh? procreation. But hear what she said. Say what you said out. By creating more men. So what did God do? God made man a co-creator. I'm showing you what God is doing. That's God's leadership. I don't have to create every single one. I will put in you the ability to reproduce. Are you listening to me, somebody? I'm telling you, man is middle management in what God is doing. You shortchange yourself too much. You are buying the lie of the devil too much. God has great things for you to do for his glory. Are you getting what I'm preaching to you today? Co-creation. So three things. Man has been chosen to be God's representative on the earth. Number two, God has decided to partner with man to subdue the earth. Number three, man has been chosen for the sacred task of glorifying God. That's your consecration. Number one, man has been chosen to be God's representative on the earth. Number two, God has decided to partner with man to subdue the earth. Number three, man has been chosen for the sacred task of glorifying God. You have to think every day, am I doing this right? Are you listening to me, somebody? Am I doing it right? Every day, I have a sacred task of glorifying God. Am I going about it the right way? Please, are you learning something today? So when you get saved, it's not just kumbaya, kumbaya. No, it's a restoration to consecration. Are you listening to me? There's a weighty responsibility on you. You've been chosen. Did you hear me? You've been what? Chosen. You know, someone said why she loves the Catholic Church is that we always challenge you to do more for God. It's not just about challenging you to do more for God. It's helping you realize why you were created. If you succeed at every other thing and you fail at glorifying God, you would have failed for why you were created. Because when you were created, he said, I created you in my image. It's the whole essence for your being. It's why you were created. If you fail at that, you fail to be human. Did you hear what I just said? Because that's what it means to be human, to be man, to be created in God's image, to glorify God. So you have to do it rightly. Are you listening to me? You've been set apart for a divine assignment, and that's to glorify God with every breath you take. That's how you have to think of it. Am I glorifying God? Am I glorifying God? Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? I'm telling you, it's that serious. The mark of productivity in my life is the amount of souls we're able to impact. Are you listening to me? Uh-huh. Listen, I know you have natural lives and you have to make money, you have to go to school and those things so that you'll be okay, but so that you'll be okay so that you can serve the Lord. There has to be a proper hierarchy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when the thing now replaces serving the Lord, then you've missed it. Do you get what I'm saying? Can God raise us to be a breed that will stand for his truth regardless? To glorify him with every breath that we take. You see that idea of there's my normal life and there's my Christian life? It's not true. Your normal life is not normal. You were like, before you started your career, self, they chose you for you were born chosen to glorify God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's no separation. Even in your career, you have to image God. Are you getting what I'm saying? In everything you do, you have to image God. Some of you in your career, you are stealing money for your boss. Yet, you say you are imaging God. You say, that's my career life. God understands we have to succeed. Or you come and give tithe after you do Yahoo. Do you know what I realize? That many of the songs that we listened to in the early 2000s were about Yahoo. Maga, don't pay. Then I said, shout hallelujah. Hey, shout hallelujah. Jesus Christ. I was thinking one day, I said, shout hallelujah. In which church? Are you? Jesus. First in Ahoma. Hey. Oh. And they'll be thanking God. Oh. I will stop there before something else. But are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, one of the ways that you know what God created man to be, and I want to show you your life. The test of the dominion that God gave man is that God asked man to name all the animals. And whatever name man gave them, God did not change. Do you hear what I said? Man spoke the names and they stuck. Are you listening to me? It's an example of the kind of way that God has given others the ability to lead just like him, to speak just like him, to prophesy just like him. Then Jesus comes to the scene, the incarnate God. And the Bible says that he saw a fig tree one day, and just the same way God spoke creation to life, he said to a tree, no one will take fruit out of you anymore. To the amazement of all around him, he prophesied. I want to show you that God has mentored you in co-creation. You just have not paid attention. God has mentored you in prophecy. You just have not paid attention. He spoke to it. You know, the problem is that some of you speak in secret, but that's not your identity. When you want to walk like God has created you to walk, don't speak hidden. Speak, let others hear. You want to prophesy? Say the things that God has said about you to the hearing of others. Anybody that knows me knows that's my pattern. Has it happened before? Do I do it intentionally? I say weird things so that they hear and they are scared. I've said something in this ministry before. Two workers left our church. They say we are moving too fast. Yeah. When we were in fellowship, the Lord told me we were going to start a church. Not only were we going to start a church, it was going to be in Canada. They left. They were telling us that they are moving. They are moving too fast. You don't know anything. We are moving too fast with souls that are perishing. We are moving too fast. You don't know anything. But I said it to their hearing. Why? Because in the mentorship of the prophetic that you see God do, he says it to the hearing of others. Jesus did not whisper that fig tree would die. He said it so the disciples will hear. You want to do great things for God, you have to be audacious about prophecies. When you sense something in that God is doing with your life, speak it out boldly. Did you hear me? What did I say? Speak it out boldly. Aye. If you don't learn anything from me, this one learn. Speak it out boldly. If I discern, I know how many times, I remember when we were in the Windsor Church, moved into a first location. I said, we won't stay here more than 3 months. Less than how many months, we had to find a new space. We moved to the next space. I said it. See, I don't care really, because in the mentorship of the prophetic, if God puts it in your spirit, say it out. Let them hear. Very soon, they will stop taking your words as a joke again. Did you hear what I said? That's how heavy with glory. they won't take your word lightly anymore. Because they understand that when you say something, you know what saying it out does? It shows that you truly believe it. It also gives the angels freedom to walk on your behalf. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then you've put it back to God, because it's God's creative ability that it will happen through. So when you say it out, you say, I believe. Because like God spoke the words to existence. In your creative ability, you can prophesy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can prophesy. Don't be too shy. Prophesy. You want to do ministry big? Learn to prophesy. I'm telling you something. That's the spirit that has to enter you if you are going to face the beings of this age. If you are going to take territories, prophesy. Prophesy. As it comes to your spirit, say, Lagos is taken. Prophesy. Are you listening to me? Yes, don't rush and say what God did not tell you. But if God tells you and it's in your spirit, prophesy. Speak it to reality. That's what you learn from God. Prophesy. That's the mentorship of God. Prophesy. You want to know why things align? It's because we prophesy. God told me when I got to Windsor, our church, small, people were looking for job. He said, I'm making a covenant with you. I will prosper you in a strange land. I came to the front of the stage that day. I said, God has said he will prosper us in a strange land. And all of you will be fine. And we are fine. Are you listening to me? So that when God does it, they will know that it's God. What if I whispered it? I don't know. God said we prosper. Let us say, God told me. There's no boldness in that. No audacity in that. You can't take territories like that. You can't walk with God like that. Prophesy. Are you listening to me? Prophesy. So the next day they were walking, and the disciples said, Master, the tree you cursed has died. They were expecting to say, oh wow, I didn't know. He knew. But what did he say next? That's little. If you say to this mountain, hi. If you say to this mountain, yes, that's what I'm saying. If you say to this mountain, be moved, it will be moved. So he's saying, not only have I spoken, you can speak too. That's the mentorship in the prophetic. You can speak too. God doesn't want you to just see the things he has done and admire. He wants you to understand co-creation. He wants you to understand that he has sent you to do great things, to subdue the earth, to take territories for him. Are you listening to me? Co-creation. You say to the job, I will get you in the name of Jesus. And it is for the glory of God. Because if your motives are right, you will get it. Amen? If your motive is just Ibiza and vacation, you will prophesy and nothing will happen. But if your motives are right, and your heart is right, and it is for the glory of God, you prophesy, I will get you, and you will get it. He said, that is small. He said, if you say to this mountain, let me tell you, the problem is that preachers sometimes take it out of context and say, as though if you say to your school, be moved, it will be moved. If you say to your wife, sorry, don't say to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the context suggests that there was an actual mountain there. He was not speaking metaphorically. He was actually talking about an actual mountain. That if you say to the mountain, be moved, it will be moved. I know it's impossible to fathom that Jesus will say, you should say to an actual mountain, be moved. But that's what he was saying. If you say to this mountain, be moved, it will be moved. I want to put in you an obsession for the word of God to come through in your life, Nobody does great things if you can't steward prophecies. The one thing that has helped me so far is being able to hold prophecies. Listen to me. I have a notepad of my prophecies from 2021. I pray over them as frequently as I can. I say to the mountain, be moved, and it is moved. When I declare things, I'm not declaring empty words. I'm declaring heavy words because I've prayed over those words. Are you listening to me? I've prayed over those words. Why do I know that ministry will not be hard for me? Because God told me that he will guide me on where to go. It's because God said. So you have to learn to take the things God has said and continue to prophesy them. If you are weak at holding the word of God, you can't do ministry. You can't do great things for God. You know, I'm saying ministry. Don't exclude yourself. Every believer is called to ministry in some form. I get what I'm saying. And even if it's not what you think I'm talking about, whatever God has called you to do, you have to hold on to the word. You have to stay on it. Don't give up too easy. What happened? They were not answering you. You are not the first. You went to a new city. Nobody answered you. You had 2 disciples. Sometimes, what some of you do, you've labored and labored, no disciple. And at the point when God was about to open your door, you stopped. You said, they are not responding. They are not responding. Then you get complacent. I'm in a good position to teach you this because it has worked for me. So if you would humbly take my submission to you, it will change your life. In 2022 summer, I stepped into a new city. I was going to be doing 3 things at the same time. I was going to be going to school, discipling Windsor people in Nigeria on Zoom, and starting a new work. You can preach to Nigerians. They fear the Lord. Come and try to preach to people in North America who don't care about your God. You think you've received a lie? 2 people said they don't want to talk to you. I say, no one is this in persecution. Persecution, have you? See, we have a riverside, a place that is close to water. People come there to chill. At some point, I said, how are we not disturbing these people by? But we'll still go. So we started evangelizing in that riverside. It got to a point. Some people we preached to, one day we were coming. They saw us from after, they turned back and they ran away. I felt so bad that day. I did not go to evangelize for 2 weeks after that. I felt so weak and broken. Did you not call me, God? You have not asked yourself that question. Did you call me by? Because I was so gingered when I thought, hey, fire everywhere, catch. Winter came, cold. Physical cold affected spiritual fire. Jesus. See, we are traveling. Make sure that someone is holding you strong in discipleship. There's blankets. They can cover your fire. All your glory, experience, imaging of God. You just cover a blanket like. Hey! Are you listening to me? So, hold prophecy strong. I was doing it on and on and on. Nothing. But you know, the funniest thing is that I still didn't stop discipling people. So the people that were around me, I said, let's start in somebody's house. Let's be meeting every Saturday. So we started meeting every Saturday. We were evangelizing, and then we were meeting in the house. Evangelism was turning out no results. But discipleship in the house was increasing, which is interesting. And I want to teach you a mystery. I hate calling things mysteries. but a mystery, for lack of better words. Sometimes the increase of your ministry will not always be a direct aftermath of your evangelism. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Not always. Sometimes it would be. And you will have many results and disciples out of evangelism. But sometimes it will not. Sometimes the people who will join your discipleship will be people others have evangelized to. And they don't know that the people they started the work in have joined your church. The same way you won't know that the people you evangelized to today have joined somebody's church. It is God that does the shuffling. But God will never give a lazy man anybody to look after. If you cannot go out, God can't give you people to look after. That's not always the case. Sometimes you will see disciples, and from evangelism you disciple them till they join your church. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I'm saying sometimes if you are not seeing that result, don't get tired. Keep on keeping. Keep doing. Keep evangelizing. Are you listening to me? We kept on talking to people. We have people who I spoke to who are not taking their work with God seriously and joined our church. So that is there as well. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But we continued because God has sent me here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I'm not here to play around. If you have never faced temptation of the devil, when you are alone, the devil will come. Say, ha, 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 ha. Sit on your bed and say, my boy, my boy. Are you getting what I'm saying? But don't stop. Hold on to the word of God. So one thing I always did in that period, I always prophesied. I can walk on the street and lift my hands like this and keep prophesying. One day, our church had grown because I kept on. I get what I'm saying. I didn't stop. Started having members. I remember one day, one of our members, when we were starting our church, said, oh, what church are you going? He said, oh, Catholic Church. Apparently, she even knew the church, which is strange. So, oh, that new church. He said, yes, it won't fly. When they told me, I said, God forbid it will fly. And because my word must. Don't play. Are you listening to me? Don't what? Don't play. I kept on speaking the word. I held on to it. Are you listening to me? And God kept on doing what he was doing. Now, this is where I'm going. One day, I was prophesying. And the Lord opened my eyes to see. That was when the Lord started teaching me about angels. He opened my eyes to see that territories can many times have beings that are in charge of them. And I started prophesying. This land is taken for the gospel. I don't care who you are. Hear the voice of the Lord. I'm not joking with you. The season I did that intentionally, everything changed in our ministry. Are you listening to me? The only person that might know is my wife, because she knew when God was teaching me about this. It was the period of Deeper Canada. I started prophesying. Then God started opening my eyes. He said, you were a visitor in this land. He said, now it's becoming your home. Everything started to change for me. I'm teaching you how to walk with God. Learn to prophesy. Speak what God has said to you. Every month I take my prophecy books. I pray over them. Lord, you have said this. So shall it be. Lord, you've said this. So shall it be. I receive it. Learn to see what prophecies. Learn to say it out again. Are you listening to me? Learn to say it out. Let me show you something. Salama. There's something called the audacity of an imager. That's what I want you to have. The audacity of one that God has called to image him. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. I beg you. There have been people who prophecies have failed over them. just because they could not be patient. Don't be like that. Sometimes some of you, God has told you things. It has not happened 1 year, 2 years. Then you see something new and exciting and you run to it. That's not how to follow God. Are you listening to me? That's not how to follow God. I used to fear some of you sometimes. I'm not joking. People used to fear me. Last week you are telling me God said this for Catalyst. Tomorrow you are telling me another thing. You dey pray? Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't you care about your place in God's will? Me, I fear it too much. If you want to learn speed, be at the center of God's plan for your life. You want to know lag, step out of God's plan. You'll be planting out of season and it will not grow. And you're like, hey, who is attacking me? Nobody is attacking you. You stepped out of prophecy. You get what I'm saying? You step. Listen. That's what Kairos is. If you plant in the right season, it will be like everybody is after you to make what you are doing a success. Are you get what I'm saying? Everything will align. If you plant out of season, you'll be walking. Have you seen people that even their mistakes don't affect them? God covers them. Do you know if you plant a seed in the right season, even if you forget to water it, it will still grow. If you plant out of season, your mistake will be so visible. Because if you don't water it, it will die. What makes some people's mistakes hurt them heavier than usual is because they are outside of God's will. But when you are in God's will, everything is backing you up to make you who God has called you to be. Are you listening to me? Don't despise prophecy. You can have precision, accurate precision. You can know you can know 2 years to come by prophecy. And when you sense it, speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. Are you listening to me? Speak it out. Nothing happens in this ministry by coincidence and we don't prophesy before. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. Are you listening to me, somebody? That's how to walk with God. Ezekiel 37:1. How can you walk when you don't know the way of the wind? How can you run when you don't know the way of the Spirit? How can you fly when you don't know the way of the Spirit? His power at work in us is changing everything. He's organizing everything. Uprooting everything. Speak. Don't joke with prophecy. Don't see. God is pushing me to say things I don't say before in this meeting. Men like this are dangerous. People of prophecy are dangerous because when you fight against them, you fight against God. Are you listening to me? I don't say things like this before because I don't like anything that seems to look as if I'm glorifying myself in a teaching or something. As well. But you understand what I want to say, Abby? I don't need to say too much. What does he say, everybody? 1, 2, go. The hand of the Lord came upon me. In the midst of the valley. Hey, it was full of what? What does he say next, everybody? There were very many in the open valley. For emphasis, he's trying to tell you that the bones were dry. Are you getting this? What does he say next, everybody? Want to go? And he said to me, Son of man. This is some of you. He says, Son of man, can these bones, please go back. Media, please go back. He said, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh Lord God, you know. This is some of you. Humility that is not real. False humility. Only God knows. He said, man of God, no be me, now you. He said, God. Son of man, can these bones live? If the Lord will let. Please, when it comes to the prophetic, don't join anybody to be doing false. If you know who you are, declare it. You know what I said? Declare it. It gets to a point that even if the Lord is trying to restore you, when you are restored, you can speak with boldness. And you get what I'm saying? Speak with boldness. He said, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh Lord God, only you know. But look at what God said to him next. What does he say next? Want to go? Again, he said, you see, God, you have one sign. Bros, what are you saying? What are you saying? I'm asking you, can these bones live? Maybe Elijah read some books on it's only the will of God that can. He said, Son of man, can these bones live? Verse 4, everybody wants to go. Again, he said to me, do you see that God is correcting him? Bros, don't say only God knows. Prophesy! 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 All the things God has said to you, will they happen? Yes, prophesy right now. Prophesy right now. Don't say only God knows. He has said already. Prophesy. 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 Come on, prophesy. 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 Come on, prophesy right now. Prophesy right now. Prophesy. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. Prophesy. I'm giving you some time. Prophesy. 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 Son of man, can these bones live again? Prophesy. Son of man, can these bones live again? Prophesy. Son of man, can these bones live again? Prophesy. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. He says again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, all dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Listen, it was him that was speaking, but he said, hear the word of the Lord. There are many things God has told you. It's the word of the Lord. To repeat them is to prophesy. There are things God has put in your spirit. To say them out is to prophesy. 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 From now till the end of this year, prophesy. Maybe why you've not seen the results you're asking for is because you've not prophesied. Prophesy. Don't forget. Prophesy. Every day you wake up, prophesy. More disciples. Prophesy. Don't stop. Prophesy. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover your skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, let's read together. One, two, go. One, two, go. There was a noise. Do you believe that there will be a rattling? Kabarambela tala vila taka baria takai. You've prophesied there will be rattlings. Over everything you've spoken about, there will be shakings. In your career, ministry, whatever needs to happen, there will be shakings. Prophesy. Prophesy. He says there were rattlings. He says the bones came together, bone to bone. Verse 8, what does this say? Everybody wants to go. Indeed, as I looked to the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, that they may what? Verse 10, what does he say? So I prophesy as he commanded me, and breath came. Hallelujah! Verse 11, what does he say? Want to go? Then he said to me, son of man, will you prophesy? Rise to your feet and prophesy. I have one more thing to say, but just prophesy right now. Prophesy. Prophesy. Let there be rattlings. Prophesy the word of the Lord. Prophesy the word of the Lord. Prophesy the word of the Lord. Prophesy. Come on, come on. Prophesy. 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 Declare the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord to my family is this, say it. The word of the Lord over my future is this, say it. Kai, Kai, Kai. Son of man, will you prophesy? 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 Prophesy right now. Prophesy over your finances. Prophesy right now. Prophesy all that God has said. Prophesy. 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 In Jesus' My name we've prayed. We are still prophesying. But I want to tell you and show you something. Everything that Ezekiel did is what God did in creation. Did you hear what I said? He called breath. Put the bones. Because he spoke the word of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Because he spoke the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is in you. Will you speak it? Will you speak it? Will you speak it? Will you speak it? What has God said? I'm going to give you 10 minutes. Begin to prophesy. Begin to prophesy. Begin to prophesy. Begin to prophesy.